Not ready to return to the States after her service as a U.S. Peace Corps volunteer, Heather Anderson decided to set her dream of exploring southern Africa by bicycle in motion. Her group dwindled to just two before the trip even started. Then she found herself traveling with a guy she'd never even met before. Tension between them increased until the inevitable split, and then Heather continued on alone through unfamiliar lands. With great appreciation and understanding, Anderson describes her surroundings, the people she encounters, and the adventure of traveling in foreign cultures as a solo woman on a bicycle in her book, I Never Intended to Be Brave, A Woman's Bicycle Journey Through Southern Africa. I Never Intended to Be Brave is Heather Anderson's book. Heather is going to be talking about it and signing the book in Hillsdale at the Rojan Library this Saturday at 4 o'clock, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Heather to the roundtable. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's really wonderful to have you here. Am I saying that correctly? Is it the Rojan Library? Is that how we pronounce?
That is correct. Absolutely.
Sort of the merging of the
Rojan area. It used to be known as the Hillsdale Library till the new library opened, and it's now more between Hillsdale and Copaic.
So now we have there's a new bike rack, and they're going to be doing that, and it's bike month, and then they have you come in, so it all will be a very pleasant day on Saturday. How did you at what point, because I read in the introduction, she decided to set her dream of exploring southern Africa by bicycle in motion. When did that dream come to you?
When I was in the Peace Corps, before I'd been in the Peace Corps, I had biked across the U.S. about 10 years before that. At that point, I thought that was going to be the big bike trip of my life, mm-hmm. taking 3 months to cross the U.S., but instead whet my appetite for a lot more. And I'd always kind of had this idea in the back of my mind that I wanted to do another months-long trip, probably in a foreign country. And when I went into the Peace Corps, it ended up being the perfect time. I had no commitments to come back to in the U.S., no place to live, no job. I was thinking about what next, and the answer that came to me is what next was an extended bike tour. And so I wrote an ad looking for cyclists to join me. There were many people who were interested. I thought I had three people. The third person dropped out of contact before we even started the trip, and the guy I didn't know, who you mentioned, and I decided to go on our own.
And what kind of planning goes into a trip like that? Because it seems like something that you really do have to think out.
You have to plan a fair amount, certainly. It was a lot of looking at maps and reading guidebooks and that sort of thing. It also helps to be familiar with the cultures when you're talking about touring in foreign countries. And from that aspect, my Peace Corps service was a huge advantage because I'd been living in Southern Africa for 2 years and I was familiar with the culture. I knew things like, well, women don't wear lycra here because then they think you're prostitutes. And that sort of cultural background can be just as important as knowing where the next village with a restaurant's going to be.
File that in the brain. That's good. So you had familiarity with Southern Africa. So was it by going there on bike, it allows you to go places that you couldn't go otherwise, I assume?
Absolutely, and at your own pace, which is what I love about bicycle touring. I find it's really the perfect pace to explore the world. It's fast enough that you do get new places and see a lot more than you do by walking, but it's also slow enough that you really get to know what an area is like rather than just passing through it in a motor vehicle. It also exposes you to the world, and you're out there good, bad, no matter what happens. And I find, though, that we're out there as bicycle tourists, we're exposed, we're vulnerable, yet we're almost always met with warmth, openness, and kindness. And it really restores my faith in humanity.
Toward the end of the book, you do write about the question was asked a lot during the course of the trip of, is it safe? I mean, that's something that I guess you asked, that other people asked. I mean, that was something that was on your mind a lot.
It was really both. It was both me and other people, and especially having been in the Peace Corps in Lesotho, where I was, it was something that the message we got a lot there were that things weren't safe. And particularly, I was in the Peace Corps both during 9/11 and during the start of the war in Iraq, and there were a lot of concerns about the safety of Americans abroad. I, however, figured that Osama bin Laden probably was not going to pick a country, Lesotho, that most Americans hadn't heard of for a terrorist attack. So I didn't feel that those threats were so much of a concern. But it is the stuff, the cultural stuff, and particularly after I split with my riding partner and my concerns about not wanting to do the trip alone initially, or would I be safe as a woman alone here? And I was careful, and I didn't do things like ride after dark, which I'd rather not do on bike touring anyway. I want to see the lands and meet the people. But that is a huge part of staying safe when you're traveling abroad, is knowing the cultures and knowing what's acceptable there and what's not. And one of the other issues that comes up with Africa a lot is wild animals.
Right.
And when I split with my riding partner, we were in southern Zambia. I went on to Botswana. He had decided he didn't want to go to Botswana anymore, so he went straight to Namibia. And the biggest questions people asked me when I said, well, we decided to split up was, you're going to Botswana. What about lions? Aren't you afraid of lions? And I was actually reassured that people were asking me about lions and not bandits, because the key with lions is that they usually sleep during the day and they usually hunt at night. And I wasn't going to be out biking at night. And the other big thing with lions is that if you are somehow caught in lion territory overnight, is just to stay in your tent, because lions don't know that they could just wreck a tent with their paws. And they think that tents are solid objects. And a lion will go around a tent just like it will go around a rock or a tree. Mm. And so it's really knowing, you know, the cultural circumstances and knowing how to treat the animals too, and giving them respect and giving them their distance.
It's a lot of trust of knowing that you know that for sure, that they think of it as a solid object.
There's certainly trust, but, you know, the great thing about animals is that they don't usually plot to come after people either. And so...
Well, no, you have to tick them off, right?
Yeah. Right, right.
With that said, it seems in the book that you did come across wildlife, though.
I did, absolutely. And when I came across lions, I was actually hiking in the Okavango Delta with a guide.
Mm.
And we were within 500 meters or so of the lions. I have a chapter called Look Lions in the Eye, because I was on foot and I could see the lions. There were also places I saw buffalo. I did have an elephant screech at me. That was a little freaky, but that's part of being out there.
How much oversight did you have? You were doing this alone, but did people know where you were at any given moment, or were you off the radar?
I can hear my mom cringing as she's listening to you right now. People knew very generally where I was, in the sense of they knew I was going into Botswana from Victoria Falls. They knew I was going. I'd sent my parents and my best friend like an email, this is generally where I'm going, now I'm going into Namibia, kind of thing. But there really wasn't any way for me to contact people like every day and saying, here, I'm at this point now, I'm at this point now, I'm at this point now, kind of thing.
When you broke up with your partner, I have to ask, because it seems to me that while that wasn't what was planned, and you were originally going to go with a group, and for all the reasons we just mentioned about safety and concerns, but there must be something very thrilling, exhilarating, and ultimately peaceful and transformative of doing that alone, meaning it's just you, the bike, and the land.
Oh, absolutely. It was a blessing in disguise that it didn't work out for us to travel together any longer, and that we didn't get along wonderfully, because there's something incredibly freeing, which I felt really as soon as I got on the ferry to Botswana, just to go on your own, to have no more, you don't want to do this anymore, do you? Why do you want to do this? But just to be on my own rhythm, to go as far as I wanted to go within the parameters of, okay, where's their food, where I'm going to camp, kind of thing. But it is incredibly freeing, both day to day and month to month even, not to have a deadline, not to have a plane ticket to get back to somewhere else in a week or even a month.
The trip took how long?
It was 7 months I was bicycling.
7 months. And so through the various terrain, you're really many times looking to strangers for assistance and their kindness, and that was usually reciprocated.
It was usually reciprocated, and it was really wonderful. And it wasn't always easy to do. I was always, there were times I was like, okay, I'm going to find a farm, I'm going to camp on a farm tonight. But there was still something about asking that wasn't always easy. But I'll tell you, Africans especially, and it's not just Africans from talking to other travelers, but Africans in particular have an incredible sense of hospitality. There was one night in particular, I stopped on a farm, and the woman immediately said, oh, of course, you can put your tent over here, and oh, here's a bathroom you can use off the porch. I also had a couple people who ran like campground B&B places. I asked for a place to camp. They're like, oh, we'll give you a free upgrade to a room. I had a South African couple I barely met in Namibia. They said, call us when you get close to our house. And they invited me to stay with them for 2 days. And they fed me and showed me around. And it's really wonderful. And it's another one of the joys of bike touring is that you're out there in the world, but you meet absolutely wonderful people who you'd never meet if you don't. And even here in the States, I've been invited to have blueberry pancakes with my camping neighbors I never would have met if I hadn't been traveling by bike.
There's also the physical stamina of it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the reasons I had planned this trip originally to go from Malawi to Namibia, I did end up extending it into South Africa, was because Malawi is a very densely populated country, and it's a country that we could go at times 30 miles a day and know we'd find food, know we'd find a place to stay, usually a very basic rest house, where there's Namibia on the other side is one of the most sparsely populated countries in the world. And there were times I was carrying food for 3 days, even water for a couple days. And so it's something to work up towards, and, you know, just to recognize where you are with your ability when you start out. And I think it's something, one of the beauties of bike touring, though, is it's something anybody can work up to. If somebody hasn't been on a bike for 6 months, I probably wouldn't recommend going to ride around Namibia. But start out riding around more and more blocks, do 10-mile rides, do 20-mile rides, do 50-mile rides, and before you know it, you can go on a tour across the country.
The name in the book is I Never Intended to Be Brave. Where do you think your bravery came in?
I think I had a decision to make when I split up with my partner, which was, am I really going to go on alone? What happened was he said, sort of out of the blue one day, well, we haven't agreed on our route. We could just split up. And my instinctive gut response was, that would be fine with me. And I did have a few thoughts later of, oh, what did I do? I didn't want to do this trip alone. That's why he's here. That's why I was looking for a group. And what it came down to was I either had to go on my own, or I had to quit. And I felt like if I quit, I would have had regrets for the rest of my life. And instead, I decided to go on and see how it went. The answer was it went so well. I traveled for longer than I'd ever planned to alone. And I met so many people after that who their main response to me was, well, you're brave. And I said, I never intended to be.
What is next? Would you get on a bike and go somewhere else? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going places by bike all the time. I'm currently working on getting all the way around the perimeter of the U.S. by bike in pieces, not one big trip. But I've been all the way down the West Coast, across the South, up most of the East. I still have the North missing. And I'm also going to be working on a tour from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. this fall with the Adventure Cycling Association.
So that sounds great.
Thanks.
That'll be fun. Heather Anderson is the author of I Never Intended to Be Brave. She's going to be speaking at the Rojan Library in Hillsdale, New York, this Saturday at 4 p.m. You can find out more information by going to rojanlibrary.org. That's R-O-E-J-A-N library.org. R-O-E-J-A-N library.org. Heather Anderson, thank you very much for being with us. Best of luck to you, and thanks so much for sharing your stories with us. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Joe. Thanks so much
Good
for
stuff.
Having me here.
Again, the name of the book, I Never Intended to Be Brave, and Heather Anderson will be speaking at the Rojan Library on Saturday at 4 o'clock. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.